Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Survivor Rewind. I am one of your hosts, McKenna Feeney. John is also here.
I am.
We are talking Season 44, Episode 10, But in the Past. And I'm excited to dive into this. It's a little bit of a newer episode because we didn't have a lot of like callbacks in certain seasons, but we kind of took some liberties with this, kind of resembling a loved one's visit. So we're just going to dive into it with the reward challenge.
Yeah, this is an interesting reward challenge because we've seen it in like different iterations. Our current iteration where we have the like, you know, that playground swingy thingy that they have to swing around on to reel in the buoy. So many buoys in this season. And So that's a newer one. That's like kind of our new era version of this. We also have the version where they, rather than winding up, they have to unwind because they have the spool around them that they're unwinding. Mm-hmm.
This challenge is called Dizzy Miss Lizzie. And it's, again, like any other Survivor challenge, which is kind of freaking annoying, where they have, it's the same challenge, but it's like, not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's like, we've gone to this era in Survivor where they classify things as the same challenge when they're kind of just like picking and choosing different parts of different challenges and stuffing them together. So Dizzy Miss Lizzie involves spinning to get dizzy, going over a balance beam, and then doing something else that finishes the challenge.
Yep. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But anywho, so they spin to get a buoy, and then they typically have to do like a balance beam type of thing. And then there's a puzzle of some kind. So in one iteration, it was a word puzzle. Then it was like that block Tetris puzzle where you have the three posts and you kind of have to slot the pieces together and they fit.
It's an asymmetrical puzzle.
I don't know how to describe this puzzle.
It has the pattern on both sides and you have to simultaneously solve both sides. Mm-hmm. But the pieces are not the same and they kind of fit in differently.
Yes.
So to solve the backs, if you're only looking at the front side, you can completely solve it, but then you look at the back and there's like that empty hole. It was in the Loved Ones Visit in Cagayan. Mm-hmm. It's the end of, like, after Vertigo, they did that puzzle. It's the one that Cass came back and won. We've seen it several times. It was in Winners at War. We had, what, Sarah and Ben working on it in Winners at War, if I recall correctly. Or Sarah and Adam. That sounds right. Sarah and Adam working on it. We've seen this puzzle before that was used in 42 when they did this.
Mm-hmm. And then 43
it's a really hard puzzle to explain.
43 was different, and it was a beanbag. It was like that beanbag toss on the circular disc thing, which is not a puzzle. It's more a little bit more of it still continuing the physical aspect. And now this season we have the return of the starfish puzzle.
Starfish puzzle was later. This was the one where they had to launch the balls onto the legs.
I wrote my note down wrong. the ball on the ledge. That's right. So I liked seeing the ball on the ledge for some reason. Like, I like that one. And when I saw it, I believe Millennials versus Gen X was the first iteration of it. Because I don't know, my brain sees Michaela doing it all the time. And I just think it's like this interesting concept of like throwing the ball up, not into something, but you have to place it on a ledge that's like directly above you and have to let it sit.
Yeah, it's one of the tougher challenges, I think. It's really hard. It like plays in your depth perception a lot, and it's not generally something that you're looking to do. The ledge is pretty, like, the slit that the shells form is really small, so it's kind of hard to, like, perfectly balance it. You have to use just the right amount of force so it doesn't bounce off it. It's a tough one, and we've seen it time and time again. I don't know how I like it as, like, the conclusion to a puzzle, or the conclusion to a challenge. I think I prefer it as, like, an opener to a challenge. Or like a checkpoint throughout. It feels to me like when we watch this challenge here, it feels to me like Survivor producers heard people saying, oh, we're so tired of obstacle course into puzzle as a challenge. So they're like, oh, we're going to switch things up. And they switch it up with these like throwing tasks. And now it's getting to the point with, yes, I mean, we have two examples of this with these two here, but like, or with this particular challenge with this season and last season that end with the throws, it's kind of the same thing. I want something a little more exciting than this in this challenge for the variation.
A lot of times we see a challenge ending with throwing rings onto things, throwing the rings onto the oars to spell, you know, like that kind of thing. And we see the reward challenge end with throwing things in Edge of Extinction episode 10. So that is what we are rewatching over on the Patreon. So please become a patron. If you're a $10 or $20 patron, you get our lovely podcast. So please consider being a patron. Yeah. And they were playing to go to, what was it? The Hideaway or the... Survivor Sanctuary. And that's it. Just the Survivor Sanctuary. Right, John?
Oh, well, I mean, according to what Jeff Probst said before the challenge, it was.
Yeah, so let's dive into that a little bit, because typically Jeff lays it all on the line of here's what you're playing for. If he decides, you know what, I'm not going to tell you what you're playing for this time, win the challenge if you would like, then okay. But the fact that John made this point to me while discussing this episode, the fact that he left out the allocation of love is an insane, insane thing that happened. I hate it because I've always said I'm never winning the loved one's visit. And that's kind of what this is in this new era, COVID era of Survivor.
Yeah, because we have the shortened season because of COVID protocols and stuff, we couldn't bring family members in for these seasons. So because of that, they're kind of supplanted with these loved one letters. And obviously, like, I think if we look at typical seasons of Survivor, when loved one letters show up, it's probably around the same day mark that we are right now. Because I think we're on, what, day 18 or something like that? 19, maybe? At the very latest. So to see that, to see these letters, Jeff holding out on this and, like, not mentioning them. The interesting thing is, if we look historically at letters from home, they are historically a surprise, right?
Unless there are times, in an auction, which is also a surprise, but, like, unless they're in an auction, they're always a surprise at a reward.
Mm-hmm. Where it's like they show up at a reward and it's like, oh my God, there are letters from home. We get that in so many seasons. I would have preferred that today.
Mm-hmm.
Then
Franny, I don't know who Franny would have chose for this reward, because I literally sat on my couch and predicted every single person that she brought on the reward because they were the moms of the group, aside from Jamie. Yeah. But yeah. I feel like she almost had to choose those people. Because they're the moms, they have kids, blah blah blah, and they're left no room for strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the thing, is like, once you say letters from home are there, you can't take someone like Carson with you.
I mean, yeah,
he's a kid, right? He doesn't have the same depth of relationships that these other people have, these older individuals. And the reason why I don't like...
John, you're going to get so much flack for saying older individuals.
I said older. I said, like, older is a comparison. I just want to put that out there. Right. It is nothing saying these people are... I didn't say they were old. I said they were older in comparison to 21-year-old Carson.
All right. We'll asterisk older than Carson. There we go.
But the reason why I really don't like Jeff holding it or telling them about these letters as Franny's choosing who's going on this reward is because it not only does it make it so that Franny kind of gets handcuffed into who she takes on the reward, but also it makes it so the people who aren't on the reward stew about the fact that they don't get these letters from home. And that's why it feels like a loved one visit. This one in particular felt a lot more like a loved one's visit than like previous seasons where they've gotten letters from home without the loved one's visit. Because we got that like segment afterwards with like Jam Jam talking about how much he wanted to get a letter from his mom and his husband. It's like those are the important moments, I feel, that come out of a family visit. And Survivor's trying to capture that again, but it doesn't work in this format. And that's what my biggest complaint. Everyone has been super high on these last three episodes. I get it. They have old school vibes and everything. but it still has the shortcomings of a 26-day season, in my opinion, where, and I'll talk about it later when we start talking a little bit about the strategy here, but this is one of them where it's like, okay, but how much more impactful would this be if it was actually these people's loved ones here instead of just letters?
Yeah, and I feel like Franny did not need another target on her back. So the fact that she wins the loved ones visit, just I feel like furthers her target rather than if it was just a normal reward. I think people might have been a little salty about, you know, not receiving those letters, but the letters weren't enough to save her with the people she did bring either.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the big things to consider here is, like, this isn't like a Kara Mullen situation where Brenda has to pick someone to come with her on the loved ones visit. She picks Dawn. They find out, hey, there's actually two loved ones for everyone, but you can give up your loved ones and the loved ones of the person you picked so that the rest of the tribe gets to hang out with them. It's nothing that egregious because that is by far one of the worst loved one visits from, like, a production standpoint. Or
the boat is literally across the beach and they can
see it. Yeah, I mean, like I said,
that is horrible.
It was mean. It was very mean. And it's not to that level by any means. Again, it's just letters. And letters can be very important to people. I don't want to underplay how important a letter is from someone. Well,
because you can reread the letter for literally the rest of the season while a family visit, like, it's revitalizing and great to see your family member and you talk to them and someone you can talk to and actually trust. But, you know, it's fuel for the rest of the season that you have in your bag.
Yeah. It's just like, it also just like from an audience standpoint doesn't have that effect. It's what I think the biggest problem with it is. Yeah.
I was not crying here. Where I cry and look at everyone, every loved one. Right,
it's not like we have like those moments where it's like we want to see people competing in these challenges, like in Heroes versus Villains, right? We want like the Damn It Reed situation.
Damn It Reed.
We want like a brother sister moment, like in Philippines, right? Like,
do we want the Kat Ederson approach to things?
That was weird.
Where she's just like tracing him on the floor.
Yeah. But like those are the moments that really are impactful in a Survivor season, I find. And those are we just listed a bunch of loved one visits that we've seen in Survivor because like those are important moments, right? Like going back to like Panama, where Terry goes on a tear and like has to assign everyone like a different amount of love that each of them get after the challenge.
I love and hate that version of the loved ones visit, but I think it's so kind of genius to show cards in this one because obviously Shane was the no-brainer. He had his kid. So either he was going on the reward or getting his kid at camp, which I think would be a little sketchy if the kid was at camp, but and then you have, you know, the person, then it's like, all right. So after Shane it was kind of like Carolyn here where Carolyn was the obvious, all right, we're taking Carolyn. And then, all right. So who's next? Who gets their husband at camp? You know, who gets their love letter?
Yeah. This leads into like another one of my like little tiffs with this episode. I really didn't like how Jeff revealed how many people were going on this afterwards. Yes, I get it. Like, that's a staple of Survivor and Reward Challenges. It's like, well, this is no fun by yourself. You better take someone with you. You know what? I'm feeling generous. Pick another one. You didn't even play it up this time.
Yeah, or like sometimes, all right, you can take two people with you. Can I take one more, Jeff? All right, you can take one more. Or no, hell no, go on your reward.
And that leads me into the other aspect of this that I'm not a big fan of. I do not like rewards, like when you're picking people to come, where you have an even number going on reward as you do back in camp. I think there should be some sort of detriment to winning reward to kind of balance it out a bit, right? Where it's like, these people are getting food, like actual food, potentially for the first time in the game. They are getting letters from home, which is going to revitalize them like a ton and remind them who they're fighting for. And they're not even at a point where they're being completely disadvantaged because they're outnumbered back at camp, right? Mm-hmm. And I know we see this episode get to the point where like Franny's voted out and everything, but we don't have like an obvious majority forming on camp because it's 4-4. I just like Survivor being a little more ruthless than that.
We see in Island of the Idols when there's a reward and so many people are left back at camp and they're salty AF and they're like, let's like not vote for Karishma this time. And Karishma's like, yes, let's form something else against those people. So like it gets really interesting when the dynamics of picking people for reward. Let's go back to Panama with, sorry, Shane, I promised Aris that I'd take him this time. And Shane's just like, well, you also promised me. What's going on here? So.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's one of those things where I don't think it incentivizes people to throw rewards because I do think that rewards are so important in this new era where you're not getting food. The sustenance is actually really important. Mm-hmm. And where you could view it as people throwing rewards and stuff, that's a strategic decision. And like Survivor is a strategic game. You have to make that decision. If you want to throw a reward challenge because you don't want to be seen as a challenge threat, which is arguably something Franny should have done this challenge, this reward anyways. Yes. Because she already had a big target for winning two individual rewards or individual challenges. So, like, there's that incentive to throw a reward challenge. But this is food. This is literally the first food these people have seen. Aside from rice that they were given last episode and, like, what they've been able to scrounge. So I understand why there's an incentive to go for this. And the half merch. Yes, that too. That was a charcuterie board, though. Like, this is an actual meal that they're getting this time. And I think, like, there's strategy involved with winning and losing rewards.
Mm.
There's strategy with who you let win and lose rewards, right? Like, if you can win a reward, maybe you fumble it in the last stage. And because your ally is going to win, so you're going to get the reward anyways. You're not going to come out as a challenge beast that way. Or maybe you're like, okay, we have to prevent this person from winning reward because we can't let them get sustenance. There's so many layers to rewards. And I just think that because of all of that, you really, really need to make it so that rewards have that level of mental decision to make. Because when you just divide it evenly, you're taking away a strategic layer of Survivor.
Yeah, and there's also the discussions that people have had in numerous seasons of, I'm going to leave you back at camp so you can monitor camp while, like, I've won this reward. So next time, we'll switch. If you win the reward, I'll stay back at camp kind of thing. So, you know, their rewards come with a lot of strategy. And I feel like the only reward challenge that I would ever like purposefully throw, aside from like needing to know strategy in the game, but is the loved ones visit. Otherwise, I'm like, I'll play the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, since the car doesn't exist anymore, and you don't need to throw that anymore, the loved ones visit is kind of.
Oh God,
kind
yeah. And sorry, aside that in the car.
The loved ones visit is that one that like has the most emotion attached to it, which makes it the strategy of going for it even more interesting. Because I think your strategy of going towards the loved one visits changes when you see that loved one, right?
Yeah.
And that's what the letters just can't deliver in modern Survivor.
Yeah. So they go on reward. So let's go back to camp. And talk about Jamie's, I don't have an idol anymore. We wanted to kind of talk about this episode where, you know, someone has left with your idol. So, you know, Scott and Kyle Jason had an idol kind of together, and Scott goes out with it because they think Ty is going to super idol it, save the day. And then, you know, one of your allies leaves with your idol because of something someone else didn't do. And it's just kind of our only thing that could jog our memory that we could liken this Jamie idol situation to.
Other than last season, obviously, when Dwight leaves with Janine's idol, or supposedly leaves with Janine's idol, as Janine thinks, but it's actually Jesse has it. So it's very interesting because it's a new era thing, because there's rarely been a moment in Survivor history where you are incentivized to give your advantage to someone else to either avoid the knowledge is power. We've seen it a little bit with other advantages. We've seen it not really with idols, but we've seen it with, I guess, like the idol one, like the closest idol one we have is like Dr. Mike in Heroes versus, or in HHH, where.
Well, we also have the winners at war, but you had to give someone the other idol.
Yeah, so it's like, and like we kind of saw it in Edge of Extinction as well with like the Edge idol as you came.
Did you say Edge of Extinction?
I did say Edge of Extinction.
We're watching episode 10 for the Patreon, so please go and rewatch episode 10 of Edge of Extinction or the whole season, because honestly, great on a rewatch. And see us tomorrow on the Patreon when we discuss episode 10.
Yeah, but we've seen like these little things. Production has moved to like incentivizing this exchange of advantages a little more. But if we look back further, we have like Sarah giving Ceree her extra vote, knowing it's not transferable. And it's a trust thing, right? Edge of Extinction also has that with Aurora giving Ron her extra vote. Like there's the trust thing of it. We don't usually see it with idols. So we don't tend to see people being voted out with other people's idols.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll go to the immunity challenge, and it's called Slither Me Timbers. Another one of those annoyingly named challenges where, I don't know, it's like the same thing, but not the same things.
Yeah. Yeah. In which, like, this is technically called Slither Me Timbers because it's referring to the first portion of this challenge. But it's the whole encapsulation of, like, the Star Puzzle 2, which has only appeared on 3 seasons.
Yep.
Seems like a more iconic puzzle than that, but it's not. It's only appeared on 3 seasons. And it's so weird. This is such a weird challenge because watching people crawl like a worm. I always remember Karishma from IOI when we think of this challenge because, ooh, that was a bad performance.
I think Millennials versus Gen X, where we first saw it. And I like this. I think this is a hilarious challenge. And I thought it was genius when they first came up with it. It's like, oh yeah, make them crawl in the sand, but not use their hands. This is hilarious. Having a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I think it looked better this time with like Danny actually being able to maneuver himself. We didn't have anyone just like stuck. Everyone kind of seemed to know what they were doing this time around.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the bigger things with this though is the having to push this buoy throughout the challenge.
Yeah.
With their face. I guess they were kind of dragging it, really.
They also could bite it and like bring it. The buoy is kind of just classic in Survivor, and then you have to like weave it through the post.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into the starfish puzzle, which we see on Edge of Extinction. Bam, 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 bam. And
which they also have to drag buoys through that challenge to the end.
Yeah. So the starfish puzzle is in episode 10. And then we see it on 41 and
here. Yeah, and this puzzle. I mean, I saw this puzzle and was like, oh, I bet Carson's already 3D printed this puzzle. And of course he did. He's works for NASA. It's a space theme puzzle kind of Not really, but kind of.
It's not necessarily a starfish. It's just a star. So
yeah,
I can see
and, this. And this is a nice. I like the fact that this is just like a three-time puzzle at this point, where we've only seen it the three times. It's a tougher puzzle because it's, you know, the pieces don't quite fit exactly as you think. We see Carson struggling with it, just like we saw Rick Devens struggle with it in Edge of Extinction. And it's an interesting puzzle. It's an interesting way to the end. I mean, essentially, we're really looking at it. These two challenges are kind of the same, just like with different... It's the same structure, right? It's like, do this thing, then do this thing. And that's, I think, what people really get tired of when they talk about the challenges in Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And despite the fact that this is a newer challenge, right? Like,
I want a switch up. I want like the puzzle to unlock the buoy to go through, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and like start with the puzzle. It'll feel like an insanely new challenge because we started with the puzzle.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just a really interesting way of approaching it, and while we have these new challenges, I really do appreciate that these were newer challenges this episode, where we're not reaching back to, like, I mean, we're never reaching back to Borneo really anymore, but we're not reaching back to, like,
I can reach back to Borneo. Come on, let's go back to Borneo, everyone.
But you know what I mean? Like, we're not reaching that far back. These are newer challenges. And because they're newer, it feels like we've seen them a lot more than we have. Mm-hmm. But, like, the fact that we've only seen Slither Me Timbers on one of those Gen X, Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, and Island of the Idols. The fact that we've only seen this starfish puzzle in Edge of Extinction and 41 and this season. Like, I like the fact that we're not in, like, these double-digit challenges at this point where, like, we've seen them over and over and over again. But there's just still no variety in them.
Yeah, yeah. It's, like, different parts, but of the same whole. Like... is kind of what's going on here. So, John, do you have anything else you'd like to talk about with
this I said I did earlier. Here I am. Right. I'm going to write
about it. Fasten your seatbelts, everybody.
I mentioned that I think this episode is really indicative of why the 26-day format is kind of broken. And I think a lot of it comes down to is we see this strategy session between these different groups, right? We have, you know, Franny and the moms talking about, okay, we should get out Danny. We have everyone back at camp saying, okay, we should get out Franny. And eventually switches to Heidi. And you're like, I'm sorry, what? And you don't really know what's going on. There's not enough time to breathe for these ideas to breathe at all. I don't think there's ever any real risk of Heidi going here. Because there's not enough time for people to actually discuss it, talk it out, figure it out. Even with, like, Heidi, when Danny confronts her and says, hey, I don't need you for these numbers because we have them already, but we're going to vote out Franny. Like, Heidi barely has enough time to talk with, like, Carson and Jam Jam and figure out what's going on there. And that's a fault of the 26-day season, in my opinion. So I enjoy the fact that we kind of had a little bit of tension here. We didn't know exactly what was going on. It did kind of look like Heidi might be going for a little while until we got Carson's, like, really long narration about it.
Though I feel like in normal 39 Survivor, excluding, like, the earlier seasons, we do have the challenge, and then the same day they're going to Tribal Council, they just get, like, an off day the next day.
We do. We absolutely do. But I think that often is just important for plans to breathe and things to set out, right? I think because we see this plan formulating as a result of the reward challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
The initial plans. I think if there was a day in between that and the immunity challenge, things could change a lot. And one of the faults people can make is making too many plans before an immunity challenge, before you know what's open. But I think, like, there just needs to be a little more time to breathe for these type of things to happen. Because I think if there was a day in between here, I think we see a completely different outcome than what we actually saw this episode.
Yeah, who knows? Heidi could have been on the been the one to go here. But I think that's kind of what we've been seeing with this new era is, like, We do in older Survivor, we get that, well, what about this? And I feel like it actually happens, where in the new era, it's like, well, what about Heidi? And we just see Franny go home. Like, I feel like they stick to the plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's just,
or at least this season, they are. Mm-hmm. All these frivolous names are nothing, and it's always the first name.
Mm-hmm. Which is something that, like, we don't see a lot in Survivor history. A lot of times you hear a first name. I mean, I'll admit I was a victim of this episode, where, you know, I hear Franny's name first as the first one thrown out there. And I'm like, oh, I guess Franny's not going home this week. I guess she's safe. And then as the episode progresses, like, okay, well, maybe there's a chance Franny still goes. And then, of course, Franny does go. Like, kudos to the editors to, like, changing that formula up a bit. But at the same time, like, all the players to be able to strategize. I've talked a lot about strategy this episode. It's just like what I want to see.
Well, we talked a lot about challenges this episode, and that's what I want to see. So, you can't win them all. You got strategy a couple of other episodes. I got two challenges this episode. So, John, do you want to close this out?
Yeah, I mean, that's all we really have for this episode. There aren't a lot of moments, or too many. We get to a point with the Survivor Rewind where we either have too numerous options to discuss, or we have too few because it's all new stuff. And we don't want to take away from the fact that you can still watch all of Phil and Alexis' coverage of these recent seasons.
Yeah. But hit us.
Yeah. But we're here, and we are going to be back next week. I'll be back next week. McKenna's not going
to be here. Yeah, I won't be here next week. So find out who is podcasting with John.
I'll have a very special guest.
Ooh.
Phil and Alexa, of course, always do their recap right after the episode on Wednesdays. This week for the Power Rankings and Predictions episode, they're going to be joined by Carla from season 43. Continuing Queen. With that 43 crowd, it's great. Subscribe to the Patreon. $10-$20 patrons get to hear McKenna and I discuss Edge of Extinction.
Episode 10 of Edge of Extinction. Fasten your seatbelts.
Of course, $20 patrons also get Phil's after show. Just join up. Even at the $1 level, you still get access to the Discord, so you can talk to us. We're in there chatting it up every once in a while, discussing everything, making plans, all those fun things you can do on Patreon.
Post live viewing. Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure you like and subscribe. We really appreciate it. Ring that bell for notifications so you know exactly when we're going live. And have a wonderful evening, everyone.
Goodbye.